Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management, and with me is Adam Kunz, Head of Trading, and works with me on portfolios. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Did you have a good weekend?
Good enough.
A lot of news. A lot of stuff to cover. You know, we had an election.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Something happened?
Oh, man. So we're going to cover the election, Pfizer's announcement on its vaccine, movements in the equity market, and we've got some significant movements on interest rates. So let's dig in. So after a close, contentious presidential race, we have a new president. And we expect that President-elect Biden will move quickly to restore many of the initiatives that Trump dismantled from the Obama era. These include the U.S. Being part of the Paris Accord, the World Health Organization, reinstating the Dreamers program. And also, where it's really going to hit the capital markets is normalizing trade relationships with Europe, Canada, Mexico. Not clear what's going to happen with China right now. We'll talk about China in a second. But I think the normalization of trade relationships is going to be actually a bigger impact to the domestic economy than I think the market's discounting right now. Also on Friday, the Labor Department released October job numbers. So we went from 11 million down to 10.1 million fewer jobs available in the economy. So it just underscores that it's just a slow movement right now. We've slowed down, but the bright spot in the jobs numbers was there was an increase in the COVID affected industries, particularly the restaurant and leisure area.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a new era. I think it's the markets are actually discounting it favorably. I think they see Biden as someone who's going to be more centrist along the lines of Clinton. And as much as the rhetoric from the Republicans, we're trying to demonize the Democrats, I think there's an opportunity here to at least pull it together. We'll see, but I think that's going to be good for the markets. And I think in a large part, the market rally, Adam, has more to do with stable government.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And less to do with a split government. I mean, it's going to be, there's, I think, a more predictable administration once it gets set. But we'll see. So with that, what do you see on the equity side? And then we'll come back and talk about monetary policy.
Yeah, so I guess as of Friday, the S&P was up 7% last week, which put the year-to-date return at 8.6. And then today happened. So it looks like the S&P is going to open up 5% up. The Dow is going to open up 6% up. The difference is really in Disney. Disney's up 12%
yep.
Free market, so that's driving the Dow. But yeah, I mean, like you said, this announcement on the vaccine is really driving markets this morning, both in fixed income and in equities. On the earnings side, we've had 67% of companies release, and of those 67%, 86% have beat their earnings estimates or the Wall Street
mm-hmm.
estimates. We keep joking that bar is pretty low, but you know, that is a driver of the market is beating those expectations. So a few to highlight, Match Group beat on earnings. Revenue was up 18% year over year. Revenue beat by 33 million. North American subs grew 9%. That was really the driver here in North America. And actually free cash flow was up 11% to 486 million. So Match Group doing well. Zoetis, a new purchase in our focus growth, beat by 19 cents. Revenue was up 13% year over year. And that was really driven by companion animal, which was up 19%.
Right. And this is the company that sells pharmaceuticals to the,
yes.
the pet care industry.
Pet care. And then they also do for livestock as well, which was up 13% year over year. So anything pharmaceutical to animals, that's Zoetis' sweet spot. And then Becton Dickinson beat by 25 cents. Revenue was up 4.5%. And that was really driven exclusively by their COVID diagnostic testing solutions. So a good quarter for them, you know, on the heels of all this COVID testing. And then to wrap it up, Qualcomm was kind of the bright spot last week. It was up 10% after beating on earnings and revenue. And that was all from 5G. So they are well integrated, well ahead of Intel on the 5G side. Their 5G modems are in the iPhone 12. And obviously it's across all other handsets. And then Huawei is now using their actual CPU again, the Snapdragon. So you're seeing that as a lot of this litigation has gone away, it's really opened the door for them to increase revenue and profitability.
And so there's a kind of a theme in some of these companies, and Qualcomm benefited from this, is that the amount that China is of the revenue. I don't know if you were able to dig into the what China accounted for Qualcomm's revenue growth.
I don't have that in front of me, but I know that it was more than 20%.
Yeah, I think it was close to 50%. Yeah. And so the China's 5G build out is significantly ahead of the US's, right?
Yes. From an infrastructure standpoint, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Qualcomm's benefiting from its leadership position in the Chinese marketplace.
Right.
And I think, but that's a theme with a lot of earnings that we're seeing this quarter, is because the Chinese economy, is doing very well. We joked about Procter & Gamble's earnings and the amount of Asian.
Yeah.
But that was really the first company that reported that we saw that had a significant improvement. I think their China was up 12% for Procter & Gamble. Coke announced in October, their bright spot in a kind of a bad quarter, their bright spot was China, which experienced solid growth in the sparkling soft drinks. But when you look at the companies in the U.S. that have large revenue exposure to China, it's Boeing, Caterpillar, General Motors, which just announced, Starbucks, and Qualcomm's one of them, Nike. But there's, I think, a general theme that we're going to start to see more stability in earnings as a result of China, as the U.S. actually is off because of our dealing with the pandemic.
Right.
China's ahead of the game, and it's it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, not only ahead of the game, I mean, they're the first major economy for their GDP to get back to pre-COVID levels. I mean, U.S. is doing better, but if you look at Europe and Japan, they're still looking at 2 years away from being back to pre-COVID GDP levels.
Yeah. On the credit side, what do you see?
Yeah, so last week after earnings, we saw rates drop dramatically. The 10-year was down 18 basis points, down to 75 bips. But then, obviously, later in the week, we saw rates start to go up. And then this morning, rates are up significantly. Look to be, depending on where you're at on the curve, about 10 basis points higher. So really what you're seeing is the vaccine potentially leading to more growth, which should lead to higher inflation and higher rates. So you're definitely seeing a shift there. And then on the credit side, you're seeing spreads continue to tighten. So even though rates were down last week, spreads tightened. And then this morning, it looks generally like spreads are 5 basis points tighter, with obviously you've got just the risk on, to overuse a phrase. So we're at historic tights. The index is now at 100 basis points. So we're back to pre-COVID levels on just indexes. High yield spreads are at 310 basis points for double B. So it's getting a little frothy out there in credit markets, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we didn't talk about GM's earnings, but GM did indicate that they were looking to reinstate their dividend.
Yeah.
Mid-year next year.
They've been paying down debt through all of this, so.
So I think we're going to see that as kind of a theme here, supporting the dividend. And so a lot of companies took on debt during the pandemic. We're going to start to see evidence, healthy companies start to shed that debt through free cash flow.
Right.
So what we're looking at also on shifting gears on monetary policy. So the Fed Chairman Powell, the Fed met last week, and they pretty much reiterated the same same story out of the same playbook, but that they will continue to provide as much stimulus as necessary. They're looking, they still think fiscal stimulus is necessary. They've got two concerns related to the pandemic. One is rising rate of infections and what that's doing to economic growth. And the second concern they have is households that are depleting savings in order to pay bills after the stimulus, the initial stimulus ran out. And that really speaks to a segment of the economy that is hurting as a result, that because these jobs that we talked about, the 10 million jobs that have been eliminated, is these are individuals that aren't able to find work because they're restaurant workers or hotel service workers, that their company's not fully functional. So that's I think the interesting thing about the Fed is, I think, remember going into the pandemic, there was a lot of contention between the Trump administration and the work of the Fed, and there was some discord that the Fed should be doing more. And I think under this new president-elect Biden, is that we'll probably see more normalized relationships between the Federal Reserve and the administration. So I think it'll take, I would expect to take the heat off of that. So it'll be interesting to see as we start to move down this path. This is the lame duck session that we're in right now, is to see what can actually get done. I'm not sure that we're going to really see. There's talk of a stimulus package during this period of time, and I'm not sure there's yet the Republicans are on board to do that. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, I think that's kind of the question on a lot of people's minds is, what stimulus do we get? How big is it? What
does
it happen?
Yeah, but here's the issue. If you go downtown Indianapolis, downtown Chicago, downtown New York, these cities are still shut down.
Yeah.
So there's a real need to help city infrastructure. And so we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how things start to, especially in light of this Pfizer news with a vaccine that is showing really, really promising results, is how quickly that can move into the economy and start to normalize. I think is too aggressive of a word, but start to begin to move back to opening up parts of the economy. So we'll see, but we'll track the Pfizer news this week too.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on your end? Hey, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you throughout the week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.